Okay, Karen, we only have 6 hours and 50 minutes of recording time left, so we better hurry. Can't get him to crack nothing. This one.
No, he's a serious guy.
Oh, very serious guy. What? Is he dangerous?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Ask his siblings.
Yeah. Okay, today's daf is daf Tezayin, Moadim L'Simcha. And we were right in the middle of a very important machlokas between Rav Yehoshua and Rav Papa as to what the din is if the porutz and the oimed are perfectly the same. So does that have a din? This was the halachal Moshe Mitzinai said to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of how much should be oimed. It has to be rov oimed. If that's the case, it would be possible because it's not rov oimed if it's the same. Or was it that it was said to him, you can't have a pirtza of rov? In which case, the porutz oimed would be not a pirtza. And we had tried to bring some rayas, and we ended up having no absolute proof. And we're right now at another raya on the bottom of Amud Beis, Tashma. Shayara shechanta bevik'a v'ikifua begemalim, be'uchafot, be'avitim, be'shilifim, be'kanim, be'kolchot, be'tatalim betocha. Okay, here we had a caravan that unloads Erev Shabbat in a bik'a. They're planning on staying there over Shabbat. And so, not having any real mechitzot, they take their camels, they put the camels, they encircle the encampment with their camels, and they also put down the ukavs that they ride on the camel, the avit, which is sort of a blanket that fits under the ukav, keeps things soft for the camel, with their bags, with their shalifim, with whatever kanin they have available, with the kolchot, they have piles, packages, large packages of vegetables that maybe they're carrying from place to place. There's plenty of room here if you want to move down a little bit and leave some extra room for our president. In whatever they make it out of, it's fine. You can be metatalin betulcha with one condition. Ubilvad shelo yehe bein gamal legamal kemalei gamal ubein ukaf lukaf kemalei ukaf ubein avit lavit kemalei avit, etc., etc. In other words, as long as you don't have the same distance between any two items as the size of the item itself, is what it seems to be saying. And but if you do, then it would be parutz ki'omed, and you'd have a problem. So apparently, even though you'd have exactly the same, ukaf, ukaf, mole ukaf in between, it wouldn't be kosher. You can't have kimlo in between. But Rabbi Papa said it would be kosher in such a case. So what does he do with this bright, huh? He will say here too, it's talking about in the case of Sukkah, it was the opposite, because we needed mostly the case was porutz. Over here, if it is nichnas v'yotze, there's enough space to easily put in another ukaf, or easily put in another camel. So then it means that you'll have more than the actual camel itself, in which case you'll have porutz, is meruba ala imeid. Toshma, nimtzeita ata omer. Based on this, now this is an analysis in the Tosefta here, of kilayim, and it's referring to what type of mechitzot allow you to plant directly up against the other species. So let's say you have a vineyard, and it's surrounded now by one of these virtual type of mechitzot, in which you've got a lot of, you're being said, either on lovud, or on eimed merub ala porutz, or on the din of petach, and so on. Nonetheless, even though it's virtual, you don't see a wall here, you're allowed, in terms of kilayim, if it's a kosher mechitza, to be semech and plant right up against the mechitza. After analyzing the various dinim of mechitza, the Braita makes for us a very cogent. Oh! No way! No, that's just, I mean, that's putting yourself, you know, that's like the Medrash, Maya Seo Toa Ben Velo Yechtar. I might as well put a wallet of Zehuvim Tachas Vitzavarecha. Yeah, that looks better. Anybody nearby enough to poke and so on? Is it wet because we have some type of hose directly above it? So here is the, as I was saying, the cogent summary that the Braita makes of three different dinim in mechitzot, And it'll turn out that it's introducing a new yesod that we haven't actually discussed until now, which is a difference between shloisha and arba'a, tvachim, that is not directly related to lavud. We know that there's a machlokas between Rishim Gamliel and the Chachamim about what the shiur of lavud is, but we've also discussed the concept of everyone agreeing that arba'a tvachim is a mokum chashuv. We haven't pointed out enough gaminas in terms of mechitzot, although we have in terms of mavui, where we had arba'a tvachim being a mokum chashuv la'atzmo. And here in this bright, that introduces us to a difference in dinei mechitzot that we hadn't yet clearly defined. Nimtzeita ata omer shalosh midot b'mechitzot. That means, in summary, that you've discovered three different sets of mechitzot. Koshu pachot mishlosha. If you start off with pieces that are less than three tvachim, each piece being less than three tvachim, then tzarik shalo yehe ben zele ze shlosha. You need, if you're going to make a mechitza out of that, and you're going to have them standing up, so that you have, let's say, the kanim, adokraniim, you cannot have three tvachim between them, because that would violate lavud. Kedei shelo yizdaker hagedi bevat rosh. We can't have a gedi come straight in without any problem, because kids are mevatol mechitzot. And we already saw earlier that even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is made it to this, because on ground level, he says you can't have, even if it would be lavud, technically, the gedi is mevatol mechitzot. Koshuhu, shlosha, whatever is three tvachim, where the piece is three tvachim, and goes from three tvachim up until four, not including four, then you don't have to worry about lavud as the shear. Then you have to only tzarich shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh kimlo'ol. As long as you don't have a distance between the two, which is the equivalent of the standing piece, and that would be even if it's more than three. So as we've escaped the limitations of lavud by going into slats that are larger than three tvachim. Once they're three tvachim and up, we're not limited by lavud. Now we're limited by parts merubah lonei. So we've entered into a new set of mechitzot in which lavud could be ignored, but as long as we don't have more space between them, so then we should be okay. But here it says the parut should not be the equivalent. Lo ye parut ke'omet. We don't want the empty space to be the equivalent of the standing space, which is mashma kelo shalo karebi papa, right? Because it's giving us the shear as being the same. And then it says, v'im haya parut meruba ala omed, af keneged ha'omed asur, which seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. Let's ignore the contradiction element for a moment. And here it's introducing a new concept. We haven't thought about this. The reason we haven't thought about it is because we've been involved in Hilchot Shabbat, and for Hilchot Shabbat it's irrelevant. But for Hilchot Kelayim, it's very relevant. When you have a mechitza in which you have parts merubah ala omed, can you use the omed part to plant up against? Or does parts merubah ala omed destroy the whole mechitza? Says now the Braita, in this middle set of mechitzot, where you have less than four, which is omed, less than four becomes batel unless there is a real mechitza there that is based on omed merubah ala parts. But if it's parts merubah ala omed, then you can ignore the omed too, unfortunately, and you won't be able to plant afilu keneged omed. As I said, for Shabbat, this is irrelevant, because there's no such thing as a partial mechitza for Shabbat. We did have, I mentioned to you back at the beginning of the sugya, for sukkah, we had a relevance to this issue. Can you sit in a sukkah where you had, there was one sheet that, remember, I mentioned to you, that the Bira Alokha says, k'tayda b'machmiran, that if you have a wall, you have your full wall of your sukkah on one side, and then you have another wall all the way at the end, and you have a pirtza that's more than 10, then in that case, if we hold such a thing, we should be mevatel the entire mechitza, perhaps. So that would be the shaila. Is the standing area of the mechitza become batel, the gabi sukkah, or can we use whatever part of it is standing as long as it's four? But in the case where the tip of, we have a very typical case, where we were makshir the sukkah by taking a pas arba'at vachim, and being mamid it next to the kotel within three. That's the standard way of being makshir that extra wall. So could I eat now in the sukkah keneged the pas arba, which seems to be this equivalent of the case over here of the parts merubah ala omed, or would I have to say mevatel al mechitz? So in this case where it's less than four tvachim, you would not be able to plant even kineged the Eimit. The next category gets around that problem. Once it's 10 tvachim, as long as it's not 10 amot, more than 10 amot, because more than 10 amot, we get it into the question of petach. If it's not going to be, again, we're talking about pieces. So we have now large pieces, 10 amot long, we build a large mechitza with 10 amot long pieces. So if you'll have the same amount of space between the pieces as the pieces, it's fine, because it's 10 amot built, 10 amot empty. Up to 10 amot is a petach. But the moment you go beyond 10 amot, that's already, you can no longer discuss this whole issue about matching pieces to the openings. Because if you'll match a piece to the opening, it doesn't matter how many pieces you've got. Even if you leave out one opening and you got 100 pieces, it doesn't help to have only merub ala parutz if the parutz is more than 10 amot in one place, because that's considered to be parutz bimlo'o. You don't have a petach. So the truth is we have four categories here. But it's not a set of mechitzot. The fourth is where you have a pritza. It doesn't say we have four midot. So the third midah would be, as long as it's four and up, so then, as long as it doesn't get beyond 10 amot, then it would be okay. And if you would have im haya omed meruv ala parutz, af kineged haparutz mutar. Here again, it seems to be saying, if you got slightly more standing than the space between them, you could even plant your vineyard kilayim in the big area, tremendous area, you could have 15 feet, and you could be planting all up against your kramim. And in the other way around, however, if you would have nifritza, I skipped a piece of pesukim. Yes, it starts shloye ben zelaza kimlo, shloye porotz ke'oimed. Here it again it says, you shouldn't have porotz the equivalent of oimed. Vimaya porotz ke'oimed, then it would be only mutter ke'neged ha'oimed. This is what's new about this one. In other words, once you've got four tvachim, then even if it's the same distance, porotz ke'oimed, and we're not ready to say that the whole thing is considered to be oimed, the way Rav Papa claims, but at least we can use the area that's oimed. Why is that true? Because, as we'll see at the end of the sugya, it's true no matter who you hold like. Because the shiur of arba'ah, in terms of the value of a mechitza, is true whether you hold arba'ah as valuable for lavud or not. A choshev amokam, as we've seen in all of the dinim, to define a karmelid, to define a rishut harabim, to define a variation between one mokam and another, is always four tvachim. So over here, once you have four tvachim, the standing part has the chashivut of a mechitza, and certainly kineged the standing part, you have a kosher mechitza to plant, because you have a clear-cut distinction between one side and the other. The only question is whether you can be matir the part that isn't covered with anything. And here it seems to be saying you can only be matir if you have oimed meruv ala parutz. But if it's the same, you can only plant kineged. This whole thing seems to be horrifically negative of papa. At every point, it's always stressing that it has to be more oimed than parutz. If it's oimed ki parutz, the best situation you have is if it's more than four. You can use the part that's oimed, but you certainly can't be matir the whole thing and saying that it's the equivalent of being closed. What's Rav Papa going to do with that? Says the Gemara, to you have to do Rav Papa. There's just one more case. Once it's lamala, mieser amot, then you've got a problem. Nifritza, biyoter mieser, then of course it becomes ulcer because it's parts bimlo'o. However, if you have kanim hadokranim, if you make, this was our Shetel case, where you make a tzuras ha-pesach out of shetlach instead of burning them. So osela and peya mila, you have to find some good use for it. So osa actually wouldn't be kosher because it wouldn't have a shear since they're oimed l'sreifa, right? So it's ksusi michta shiure, so you can't really use a peya for this.
Not even like, so maybe like omen?
Must be used a different peya.
Also, also about non.
Yeah, but this isn't, maybe it's not called hanon.
No.
So, in any event, if you make a peah, of course, the peah over here, as we saw before, means a braid made out of your vines, and you put it on top of a kanima dokranim. We had this before. So this was a tzuras ha-pesach, a natural tzuras ha-pesach, where you just put in the four spikes, kanima dokranim, and then you trail the vine over the top, so then you've got a tzuras ha-pesach. In that case, afilu biyoter mi'eser mutar, even if it would be more than 10 amot, it's not a pirtza. Now, this, of course, is where we know that Rav took exception to that. He also was only matir tzuras ha-pesach up till S. But we don't paskin like Rav, as we saw before.
Why does it have to be dokranim? Why does it have to be spitzim?
Because otherwise you'd get very tired holding them up. But if you want to hold them up, it's okay. They don't need spitzes. The spitzes are on the bottom to get into the ground. Bad picture. Which picture gave you that?
Picket fence.
That must be in Yateg.
Just
to
look at it upside down.
Yeah?
Showing the other person.
Nobody got it.
It's
okay. You got it.
You got it,
Doctor.
Are there pictures? Do we have our...
It was back somewhere.
Okay, but anyway, it's on the bottom. I need to stick it into the ground. The pay is not on the spitz. The pay is on top of the... they show it the other way around? What's that? That's very strange. Isn't that something? Well, I have no idea what that would mean. I don't know what it means for anybody to even think such a thing. It's very strange. Okay. So, in any event, we've got a big problem over here. Because, Katani Miyatz Reisha. Well, let's take a look at the opening case. The opening case is from 3 Tvachim until 4, but not including 4, would be okay. Ubilvad Shalo Yehi Bein Zeh L'Zeh Kimlo. But you can't have the equivalent space, when we say ratio, of course, we mean the middle set, ratio meaning the ratio before this. So as long as you don't have bimlo, but the moment you add kimlo, which would be the same size, would be parts kiyoy made, it would be us, to you after the Rav Papa. Omelech Rav Papa, look, it can't mean bimlo, literally. It's got to mean beniklas v'yotze. Why? Because Elchinami Mistavra. Take a look at the continuation. It says, Im haya parutz meruba ala omed, right? Only then, if it's more parutz, then it's afkinegida omed asur. Mashma, that if it would be called parutz ke omed, then it would be mutar, which is my opinion. So you're telling me the Braita now contradicted itself within two lines? Obviously, when it said before kim lo'o, it meant kim lo'o with the ability to push in and out without moving anything else, which is always slightly larger. In which case, on the contrary, it's a raya to me. Shmamina. Oh, hey. Then maybe we should switch this whole thing around and ask, is it Tiyufta on Ravuna? Hmm? So then, Lema Tavi Tiyufta Ravuna Bereder of Yoshua? Then indeed, Rav Papa seems to be correct, because it says Beferush over there, that if it is Komet, it's Mutter. Says to you, Amar Lacha, says Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua to you. So look at the next case, you'll see that I'm right. I mean, how can you believe that he's right? Ema Seifa. What's the third case? That Im Haya Omed Miruba Ala Parutz. So an af kineged aparutz mutar. If you've got more imed than parutz, then you're able to use even the area which is parutz. Once it's four to ten amut. Hake parutz mashma that if it wouldn't be omed meruba la parutz, it would be only meruba equal to parutz. It would be asur. How come you didn't ask that part on Rav Papa, huh? So say for kasha the Rav Papa, but now the ratio is kasha of an imed of Yeshua. So now what are we going to do? Now it seems to be indeed very meduyak, like Ravuna in the Seifa, but not in the Reisha, meaning not in the middle case. Well, Seifa Rav Papa will have to say is indeed not meduyak. And the reason that it uses the Lashon of Yoter is because since we started off using the word Poretz Meruba in the Reisha, so we said over there, Poretz Meruba ala Oimed, if we wanted to say the opposite case, Leheter, we said Omed Meruba la Parutz. But we didn't mean literally it had to be Meruba. It would be fine if it would be exactly the same. And according to Ravuna, Bereder of Yeshua, he will have to say the opposite. He'll have to say, I mean, otherwise we have a contradiction in the bright, right? So he'll have to say, Ayde debay lamit mesefa omed meruba la parutz. Since in the Seifa it was essential to define that we require Omed Meruba la Parutz, so it uses the Lashon of Parutz Meruba ala Omeid to define what we mean when we have Kiyomeid. For all intents and purposes, it's Meruba and it would be Asur. So from the language, we're not going to get anywhere. But from the concepts, we can get somewhere. Because look, according to Rav Papa, the Braisa makes sense. Why? Because the distinction in the Braisa between a case in which you had our first set, which was the case of the three, and we talked about three till four, but less than four. So in each case we spoke about what would be from less than three till three. From three to less than four. Now, let me ask you something. According to Rav Papa, I can understand things. The reason that it doesn't put the cases together, Mishum Hachilo Oriv Lahu Vatani Lahu, it doesn't mix the cases of three together with the first case of less than three. Can we just think about that for a moment, please? Suppose we would have a case of three in the first set. We would have included the three. We would have said less than three, up to three, inclusive. Could we not still have said exactly what we said? That as long as you don't have Ben Zeh LeZeh, the same size as the piece. Because according to Rav Papa, what would be the din once you get to have the size of the piece? According to us, the only concept that's important there is lavud, right? So it has to be less than three. So there we're going to say, between them, in order to be malavid. According to Rav Papa, if it would be more than three between them, it would be possible, but not in a case where the pieces were three. Because if the pieces were three, and you had more than lavud between them, you'd still have three empty, three full, three empty, three full. And according to Rav Papa, such a case is mutter, because it's Paritz Ka'imit. Forget about lavud. It's mutter because Paritz Ka'imit. So we certainly couldn't have said about it that including three, if it's more than the shear of lavud, as long as you have less than three, but if you have three, it's no good. Not true. If you have three, it is good. So therefore, I have to say that we're limiting this to a discussion where the pieces themselves are less than three. But if you hold, like Rav Huna, what would have been wrong if we would have included in the first set three? Anything less than three, up to and including three. According to him, if you don't have lavud in between them, if you don't have lavud in between them, even though you have Paritz Ka'imit, it would still be possible, because Paritz Ka'imit is possible. So then we could have said, any case, up to and including three, if you don't have lavud between them, is possible. And someone will shout, what do you mean? But it's equal. So Rav Huna's sheet is, if it's equal, it's still possible. So according to Rav Huna, why doesn't it say possible on the case including three that is not lavud, one piece to the next? So the conceptually, the bright is constructed around Rav Papa. Forget about the language. Says the Gemara, so Bishleim Rav Papa, I understand the construction over here of the bright. We didn't put it all together in the first set. But according to Rav Huna, Breider of Yeshua, why couldn't we have said like this? La'arvanino, let's mix three with the set beneath three. V'litnino, and say it like this. Kol shehu pachot mishlosha vishlosha. The first set includes anything less than three and three, inclusive, which is not what you said. You said it has to be less than three. So even if it would be three, tzarech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh shlosha, you have to have a situation which you don't have three in order for it to be lavud. The moment you would have three between the pieces, it wouldn't be kosher. Either because it lost lavud, or because it's Paritz Ka'imit. But in either case, it would be possible. Answers Rav Huna, very true. You just said it for me. How can you say to mix these two together when, even though it's true, it would be possible for a completely different reason? Up until three, it would be possible because it's not lavud. From three, it wouldn't be possible because it's not lavud, because I don't need it to be lavud. It would be possible because it's Paritz Ka'imit. In order to tell me the din of Paritz Ka'imit, I put it together with the next section, which is dealing with the din of Paritz Ka'imit. Why would I insert, suddenly, just at the end of one set, a different halacha of Paritz Ka'imit? Does that make sense? Makes more sense for me to keep the sets different in order to discuss what the psul is in each one of these sets. So let's see that inside. Answers Rav Huna, very simple. Mishud de lo domi psul adoration, the psul of the sefer. Because the thing that passels all the cases over here, up till three, is different than what passels the cases after three. Because the psula deresha is only in order to avoid a problem of non-lovud. Kedeshu lo yizdakir hagadi bevatachat. But the psula de sefer, once you hit three, the reason that it's passel is because shelo yeh poritz ka'imed, which l'shitati, once it's ki'omed, is passel. Has nothing to do with Bekiyat Gidiyim, obviously. Because you could have a pirza, which is a perfectly kosher petach, as long as you have the Eimed, which is the same size. There'd be an awful lot of Gidiyis that could walk through side by side in a petach of five amot, a little bit harder than that. Just. Skip it. Right? So that wouldn't be the issue. Therefore, says Rav Huna, we're keeping the three sets conceptually clean, even though we may not be meduyak in terms of the measurements of the space. That's not what I'm interested in telling you. I'm not focusing as much on how large the boards are as I am on what the problem is. So you have a mechitza that has a problem of lavud. That's set A. Then you have a mechitza that has a problem of Paritz Ka'imit. That's set B, which includes the shear of Shalesh, Why are you so focused on this shalish business? Why is that important? Okay, so according to me, it also makes perfectly good sense. Ask the Gemara. Now, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize that the machlokas about the chashivut of four for lavud does not necessarily have anything to do with my opinion about the chashivut of four for a tzurah v'mechitzah or for a makom chashuv. The Gemara now assumes that the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel about what the shir of lavud is with Rabbanan, is it four, as Rav Shimon four tvachim, or is it three, would actually stretch across the entire conceptual vision of what four is. If I hold that beyond three is already not lavud, then that means that I don't see any difference between something that's three or something that's four. It's gone beyond the shir of lavud. So why? The Gemara is bothered, therefore. How do we explain the second set without accessing Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's Sfara that four is special? But if four is special, then four should also be the share of lavud, in which case the first set doesn't make sense, because the first set's giving us three. So how do we explain that? Asks the Gemara now like this. The first case that says, Pochot Mishlosha is going according to money. That's going according to Rabbanan. Because obviously the Rabbanan who hold that less than three is now qualitatively different than three. Yes, that's what they say in the Rasha. The Amri Pachot, Mishosh, Amrina Lavud, that's their opinion. Less than three is Lavud. Three is already Chashav. Three lo Amrina Lavud. But what do you do with the middle case? Ema Seifa. Goshu Shloshah, Mishloshah, Ad Arba'ah. Now, according to the Rabbanan, there should be no conceptual difference between three and between four. And that could only work out Ata An, the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. That only works like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Amar, Pachot mi arba'a lavud. Less than four is lavud. Take a look how careful it's bedayek, because the next case says, Kol shehu mi arba'a ad eser. So in other words, we're going only right up to four. Once it's four, we already get into the next category. That's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. He's the one who holds that there's a qualitative difference between less than four and four. Where would the Rabbanan get such a difference from? The Rabbanan mishloshavi ad arba'a. What is the meaning of the middle set of from three until less than four? According to them, it's all one thing. There's no qualitative difference between three tvachim and four tvachim, right? Rabbi, wrong. Look, the Reisha is definitely the Rabbanan. I mean, there's no way to get out of the Lavud thing, is there? I mean, it says Lavud here is less than three. So I say like this. Look, if we know the Reisha is the Rabbanan, then let us just recognize that there's a new concept over here that has nothing to do with Lavud. The Seifa is also the Rabbanan. It's just that the Rabbanan are Modu Rabbanan. The Kol Lemishra Kenegdo, you see, this is something we didn't think about before because we weren't learning Kilayim. We were learning Shabbat. And in Shabbat, for Mechitza, it didn't make any difference. But when it comes to Kilayim, it makes a great deal of difference. The Chachamim are Modu, and in the same way that we wanted to say earlier, that the area of Chashivut of a Mavui would be four Tvachim. Nobody thought that that had something to do with the Machlokas from Shem Gamliel and Rabbanan. They understood that there's something choshev about four tvachim. Now, you might have thought it's only because of the shira of a petach, but it's not. The Rabbanan are moda that arba'ah is choshev to be a makom. So, i'ika makom arba'ah choshev, just like defines a reshuta yachid, it needs to be four tvachim, just like defines a Carmelite skipper, it needs to be four tvachim, just like defines the minimum size sailboat it should be able to get into, and just like it defines... Can you repeat the last one? No. You see? It was really bad, because I if you didn't pop up with the sailboat, then I figured we would really have serious problems. Okay. Maybe we should try skiing next time. Skiing. I don't know what you'd rather be doing on any particular day. So the Rabbanan are also moded to the middle case. If you have poritz meruba ala emet, but you have a section of wall that's four tvachim, that four tvachim is a valid wall in and of itself. Forget about the rest of the area. And up until that wall, I could plant my kilayim. There's no problem. So on one side, I'll have the vines, and on the other side, I'll have the tomato vines, and it's fine. Rava says, I take the opposite tact. I say that the Seifa is definitely Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And that anybody who's going to make a qualitative distinction between four tvachim and less than four, Richie, has got to be Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And therefore, the Seifa is also, the Reisha is also Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And there's really no problem, because we already discovered that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel agrees to our shear of Lavud, remember the case of the Lehi that was suspended, and it wasn't three, wasn't within three, and we said, even according to Shimon Gamliel, why? Because Shelo Yizdak HaGedi Bevad Rosh. So he's moda that Lovud and Kedei Yizdakir are two different issues. We, to us, it's all the same. So we derive, we have a shear of love, which is the equivalent of a place where an animal will just walk into the bottom. He says, no, there's two problems. There's the problem of the shear of Lovud. That's not Lachan Abashim Sinai. You got a problem somewhere in the middle of a mechitza. Lovud is four tvachim. But you also have another problem, which is something which is open to animals just walking in is considered to be parut. So even though technically speaking, it may be closed, but realistically speaking, the Gedeim come in and they're mevatel the mechitza. Once you're mevatel the mechitza, it's not going to be useful, even according to me. Therefore, the ratio works perfectly well according to Shimon Gamliel. V'chi yomer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel amrin en lavud. Where does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel say, let us call it lavud if it's within four tvachim? That's dafka animilu milamala. That's only if it's somewhere in the middle of a mechitza or on a roof for whatever purpose. Mashenkein avalemata avalekim mechitzak shagadim bokimba lo amrin en lavud. We don't assert this type of virtual mechitza, lavud, virtuality. There are some virtualities, obviously, we do assert, like Mechitzat HaPet, like Tzurat HaPetah, perhaps some of the goods, or the Pitikras, and so on. But this virtuality, of something being Mechuber, because of Lavod, that we won't say is Kineged, Gedim Bokimba. So we have two very different understandings of how this Braita is constructed. According to one Shita, we see the entire thing is going Aliba Drabbanan. The first section is based on Lavod. The second section is based on a new concept of areas less than four, which are therefore not choshev enough to be a wall to be used kenegdo, unless you have omed, that is kipara to yoser, depending on the machlokas, Rav Papa and Ravuna. And the third section has pieces of wall that are four, therefore the choshev enough, even if the rest is useless. And that all works out a little bit of Rabbana. According to the other approach that we have over here, the first section didn't have to do with Lavod. The first section had to do with the problem of Gedeim Bokimba. And therefore, it took the shear of three instead of four, which would be the standard for Lavod, because Rav is learning that this is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The second section was, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, less than the chashivut necessary of four, which is connected to the din of Lavod. And then the last section, because it's already a qualitatively different area of four, because it escapes from Lavod. So once it escapes, it's already sufficient to be a b'chitza b'fnei atzmo. So Lahalakha boils down to exactly the same three categories. The question is, what are the concepts involved in those three categories? So according to Abaya, the bright that was following all along Rabbanan, and it actually had two separate concepts. One was Lavod, one was Makom Chashuv. And according to Rava, it was all Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. One was Lavod, and one was Gedi Bevat Rosh. Fine. Okay, but in any event, we've got now this very, very wonderful brighter that we just learned from Kilayim, and we weren't able to bring a raya to Rav Papa or to Rav Huna's pshat. We could read the brighter, certainly, semantically, we could make it work out according to Boshitot, and we could also work it out conceptually according to Boshitot about Porutz Ke'emet, and then the conceptual difference would be, are the sets constructed along the lines of the size of the mechitzot, or are the sets built around the reason for the psul and the heter of the related mechitza, which is what Rav Huna claims, right? Okay, so it's beautiful to see the way a particular structure could be perceived by two people in completely different ways, even though it's exactly the same framework. It's a mamish amazing thing. It's a very, very wonderful example of the Shimim Panim L'Torah. We have exactly the same information. We have exactly the same halakha that comes out of the information. We have exactly the same distinction between sets. And according to one Mandiyomer, you have a totally different set of halachas than the other Mandiyomer. It's absolutely amazing.
But their physical perspective is the same. They're standing in the same.
It's not only a physical perspective. It's the way in which we've built our vision of the distinctions between the sets, which is the whole way in which our brains work, or as we structure things in sets. And nonetheless, we're able to give completely different explanations for it. Right? This happens. It happens all the time in the physical universe. We do this all the time in science. It's done all the time. You can have all the same information. You can have all the same distinctions. And you can come up with completely different explanations as to why those distinctions work. And you may have to wrestle for centuries to find a case where it's really going to make an afkamina in order to create an experiment that will prove whether one approach is correct or the other approach is correct, because it's simply too subtle to be able to see any difference in the simplest level. The same thing happens in the Gemara. Up until now, we can't bring any rayas. There may be other cases that we haven't been able to come up with yet that are subtle enough to tease out the difference between Rivlin's approach and Rav's approach, or between Rav's approach and Abai's approach in this bright.
Just check out between the Shem Gamaliel and the Rabban. Everybody holds that less than two Falk and the Kedim don't go through.
Right. Yeah. They don't go through Rabat Rosh. They might be able to get through, but they can't walk, they can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Can I bother you for a cup?
Water? How do you translate the Rabat Rosh, even with the head not even moving?
The question is whether it says here Rabat Rosh. because it's strange that at the beginning we said Rabat Rosh, then at the end we said Rabat Achat, if you'll notice. And the people are troubled by the girsa. There is another girsa that says Bevat Achat all the time. And so Bevat Rosh may simply mean that. Literally Bevat Achat. In other words, the Rosh is the Achat. So we say, you know, as just going straight through it, we would say straight. Straight means at one time? Yeah, in this context, it means at the same time. Yeah, exactly. The thing is, I haven't gotten any mezainos. I suppose I'll just make my leisha masukah.
Does that work as an example of understanding it differently in terms of
no,
that's not the same.
No. Not that I know. I don't know of any distinction. Here we go again. The old machlokas. Toshma. So we haven't succeeded yet at bringing a raya to Rav Papa Ravuna. Let's try again. Toshma. Defanot halalu sheruban ptachim v'chalonot mutar. If you've got walls that are mostly holes, that's what it seems to be saying, either windows or doors. When I say doors, I mean openings for doors. Are okay to carry in on Shabbat to bevachu omed meruv al aparat as long as they're mostly not empty space. Now this, of course, doesn't make any sense. Asks the Gemara, wait. You said that are mostly doors and windows, they're fine as long as they're not mostly doors and windows. What is that supposed to mean? Sheruban sakadayatav. Ela sheriba bahen. As we saw earlier, it means that you made an awful lot of tachim v'chalonot, are mutter so long as bevachu omed meruba al aparut, as long as you have more standing area. Now this is mashma, that if it would be the equivalent, hakeparut, it would be asur, tiyufta to Rav Papa, tiyufta. That seems to prove conclusively that Rav Papa is wrong, and therefore we paskin like Rav Papa. Ve'ilchasa kavasi. What? Tiyufta ve'ilchasa? Did I hear you correctly? You said we just conclusively proved Rav Papa is wrong, and now we're paskinning like Rav Papa. Yes, that's what I said, all right. The truth is, that first little question that you had in our Mishnah, where you medayk Rav Papa, and you said, why didn't you just put the whole thing together to say, as long as it isn't nifrit sayosir? And you said, kashya. Well, how about coming back to that kashya? You have an answer? You made it sound like it's not fatal. Why isn't it fatal? How does Ravuna read the Mishnah? Why wouldn't it just stick in the parotskiyah I made, according to him? I mean, that's a raya to Rav Papa that you were conveniently ignoring to let us get in an extra page of rayas. But, I mean, now when you come right down to it, the truth is that the Mishnah was mashma like Rav Papa. We said that straight away. And since matnitin is medai kevatei, titznan lo yehe peretzot yitirot abinyan, hakebinyan mutar, we will paskin like the Mishnah. Because, look, I mean, it's certainly not a better diak in the Braita, is it? I mean, hakeparut, it's the same thing. Ha yitirot, hakebinyan, same diak. So if the Mishnah is Meduyak like Rav Papa, let's paskin like Rav Papa. Makifin shlosha chavalim ze lemala mizeh veze lemala mizeh ubevat shelo yehe ben chevel chaviro shlosha tvachim. It's perfectly okay to make a mechitza that is made out of strings. And these strings can be one above the other horizontally as long as there's no three tvachim between the chavalim. And as long as the width of the chavalim themselves in total is more than a tefach, so that when we add up the three less than three tefachim and the additional tefach plus of the strings, we come out with 10, because the minimum mechitza is 10. So we don't have quite 9 with our loved area, because it has to be less than 9. because each one is less than three. And we can't have, therefore, only one total tefach. We need one tefach and three mashulus here, you know, to fill in the difference. So, but as long as your total area is ten tefachim, even though it's all empty space, as far as anybody can see, I mean, all we have these invisible fine wires on which we're skiing down the mountain, and... there we go. So we've got these invisible. Yeah. It was a space elevator, Richie. It was a space elevator. We had very fine wires to avoid atmospheric agitation, you know, and friction. It's a great way to ski. Yeah, space elevator. You carry your own oxygen, and we just lift you up using our space elevator, which is in orbit, and then we just lower you down the mountain. We don't even need a mountain. You should be skiing on the air. On the sky clouds. You may not land in the same place that you... Okay. So, now it's beyond stories. Now they're experimenting with space elevator. Oh, yeah. Didn't work, but there was an experiment. Yeah. Okay. You need all in all 10 tefachim. And you could do the same thing in the other direction. This is talking about horizontally, the same thing vertically. You could have these little kanim dokraniyim, which in our president's pictures are used as spears in case anyone complains about your mafitza. And in our pictures, used to plug into the ground. So you've got now a gap of less than 3, and this is vertical. And the same thing as long as you don't have bein kana l'chavirosh l'shat tefachim. And here, of course, you don't have to worry about the thickness of the kana at all, because it's tall anyway, of 10 tefachim high. But you should know, the shayara dibro, divrei Rebbe Yehuda. They only said this in a shayara. But in the normal circumstances, they would not have allowed you, said Rebbe Yehuda, to rely on a one-way only mechitza, which is going either horizontal or vertical. We already saw this distinction yesterday when we were talking about, according to Rashi, the category of less than perfect mechitzot, that's only matir, a beit sa'atayim, and less than beit sa'atayim. Anything that is not a true mechitza is limited how much space it'll be matir. So therefore, they were matir this in an emergency, if you're traveling. So says Rebbe Yehuda. Now, we think that this means matir at all. Forget about sa'atayim. We're going to clarify that later on. The Chachamim Omrim, Lo dibru b'shayara ela behoveh. The case of the shayara in the Mishnah is just because that's where you get this kind of situation where people have to quickly make something and they just take a string and they put it around some poles. I mean, normally if a guy's making a fence around his house, it's got shtiver, you know, so we took the case. But obviously there's no special din about a shayara. Kol mechitza she'ena shal shetiv shel erev ena mechitza at all, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So we have three shitot so far. One shita that says it's always good. One shita that says it's good only, Rabbi Yehuda, it's good only for Shayara. And then Rabbi Yossi, who was Rabbi Yehuda's own son, disagreed and said, it's useless. You can use either shiti or erev, which seems to be completely repetitious. The Gemara is going to say, what exactly are they adding to the shita that we just had about the Chachamim say it's a kosher mechitza. Omer of Amnuna Amarav. Hare Amru Omed Meruba Laporetz Bishti Havi Omed. Now that you've raised the fact that we could have two different types of mechitzot, horizontal and vertical. I never thought about that before. But thinking about it, all the examples that you brought earlier of the question of porotz merubah la'omed or imed merubah la'porotz, those were all examples of vertical mechitzot. Because in each one of those cases, basically we were talking about things that you put on the ground, then you had a space, you had a camel, then you had a space, and you had another camel, and so on. So basically, you're talking about vertical mechitzot, and I understand in a vertical mechitza, you've got this question of parts merubah la'omed and so on, and if you've got omed merubah, so then we can view the opening basically as a door. That's what you were saying, as a doorway. What I'd like to know is, how about in the other direction? Be'erev mai. Obviously not the case in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, there's no open space at all. Well, of course, it may look open to you. But that's because you don't see virtual mechitzas. But there's no open space at all because our Mishnah is talking about less than three. So it's completely sealed up. It's just too fine a mechitza to shout, the emperor has no clothes. But certainly, I mean, if the emperor were dressed in lovud, nobody would dare say a thing, would he? So, in general, I'm not asking about the Mishnah, of course, but I am asking, whether we would say that such a thing would go according to the rove, that is, omed, or do we say that, well, you don't make openings in the middle of things, that I should now be machshir just because I have omed. Either I have a machitza or I don't have a machitza. So what would be the din ba'arif? Omer Abaye, I can bring a raya from our Mishnah, believe it or not, even though our Mishnah is talking about cases where it's kulo sealed because of a lavut. And here's my raya, fascinating raya. Tashma, it's not from the fact that we've got it because it's all sealed. It's from the thickness of the chavalim that the Mishnah insists we need. The Mishnah claims that the only way to have a horizontal mechitza would be a shiur chavalim va'ovyan yeter al tefach. You need for the thickness of those skiing ropes. You need for the thickness. It's taking a little too long though till it registers.
I think
we should maybe get a glisha package just a bit.
So, the ropes on a tow lift?
Yeah. So these ropes have to be a tefach and more. Three mashuins more, right? Less than that, you're never going to get a case that you could be matir with this mechitza in which you have only ropes. Why not? I got a perfect case for you. Why do you need such thick mechitzot? Normally. What you can do is, if there was such a thing as eimed meruba ala parot, then let me describe a scenario for you in which you could easily use an area that would be less than so much thick chavalim. Here's what you would do. Why do I need such a thick total of chavalim? What I could do is I could do this. Le'avit pachot mishlosha. Let me make my first hole. Less than three. Tiny chaval. Okay. Now I've got that whole area sealed. So that's omed. That's completely omed. Fine. Then let me go with the chevel mashu, make another pachot mishlosha for chevel mashu. But now I've got six. That's omed. If I've got six, that's omed. Then I could have only. I don't need any more. I can do now the fourth one. I can do four. Let me do now another chevel mashu upachot mi arba'a, because I've got rov that is omed, since lovud is omed, and now my entire thickness of chavalim is a total of three mashus. Look how much money I could save. I could use that old fishing line that we have to throw out anyway because it keeps breaking. We could use that to build the mechitzas. Yeah? Told you not to throw it out. So according to this, we've got eimed meruba ala parot. Since we don't say this,
it's not strong. I mean,
it doesn't have to be strong. Okay. It's completely sealed.
Even in the vertical sense, even if you have rove, you can't have a parts that's going to be more than.
You don't. You have rove omid. You've got six omid, and you only have four parts. So it's wonderful. And now you've got you saved yourself a mint of money here. Vitizbra. Now wait a minute. There's a problem here. There's definitely a problem. Explain to me where you put the pachot mi'arba piece, okay? If the pachot mi'arba echimukimli, where'd you put it? Imukimli tatori, if you put it on the bottom, no good. Why no good? Because the gedim walk under it. So it can't go on the bottom. If you put it on the top, imukimli tatori, avalikim echitsh shagadim bokim, but doesn't count. Imukimli alloy, suppose you put it on the top piece. If you put it on the top piece, you now have a wire that is surrounded on either side by avir. That was the equivalent of trying to seal up your mavui of esrim by putting a pole in the middle. Also, avir mihagis, avir mihagis, and avatale. In order to say parts, omed meruba la parts, has got to be not that you've got something on either side that cancels it out, but in this case, you had avati avir the hagis, avu the hagis, umevatale. So your only possibility would be to put it in the middle. But if you put it in the middle, then the only way that you have oimed meruba ala parts is by putting together the two pieces of the oimed. But we said earlier that putting together two pieces of oimed against the parots ain't necessarily so. And therefore, we wouldn't have been able to ask that case, I mean, unless a buyer wants to really put his neck out on the cutting block and claim that, well, that's the way it is. I've decided that oimed meruba ala parts mishnei tzadim is good enough. Is he ready to do that? I mean, you've got an oimed meruba ala parts mishnei ruchot. Is he trying to tell me that Shmamina Eimed Meruba La Parts Mishtei Ruchot Havi Eimed, huh? And that's his Raya? Go ahead, Abaya, tell us. Well, okay. So that's not a good case. So, wait a minute. So then, actually, what was Rav Amnuna's question? I mean, Rav Amnuna would have this problem no matter what, Lechora, no? Because, I mean, he's construct. Once we get up to 10, we have no problem. Because once we have to, we don't need anything more than that. And I've just showed you, no matter how you cut it, there's no way to create the situation of Omed Merubah Laporetz in the bottom area of the 10 because of the limit on Gedi and Bokimbo on the bottom. So, I mean, what? Rav Amnuna was asking, like, an irrelevant question? Well, what was he thinking about? Says the Gemara, what do you mean, what is he thinking about? You know, you've gotten so caught up in virtual thinking that you forgot we could actually have a peace. We don't have to have something that Asi Avira Mi'aygisa Mi'aygisa. So let me explain to you what the case is, in case you forgot the physical universe. Okay? So in the old physical universe, there used to be such a thing as a Mechatzelet. A Mechatzelet was an actual piece of canvas. Canvas. It was made out of particles. So now this Mechatzelet measured a little bit more than 7 tvachim. What you did was, you wanted a lot of extra air, you cut a strip out of the bottom piece, but leaving, of course, a little layer on the bottom. So you made a window in this machatzelet of 3 tvachim, so for chakak bashlosha, and you left 4 plus, okay? You left 4 plus, because you had 7 plus, so in taking out a full 3, which is not lavud, you're still left with enough to put this thing within 3 tvachim of the ground. So now it's lava to the ground. It's got a serious piece of 4 tvachim on top, and there's no avir mi'aygisa to mi'vatalit. You've got 3 in the middle, and you've got this 3 in the middle now is certainly going to be more than the lavud. And you bake it now, v'ukme, v'pachot mi'shlosha. And you put now that little bit less than 3, somach l'karka. So now you've got Omed Merubah ala Parutz. You don't have Avira Mihagisa or Mihagisa. I want to know what's the din. That's what he's asking. So in such a case, if you don't think virtually, he wants to know, is there a din of, do I need to have that hole sealed? Or do I say, listen, the same way that if I have a vertical hole, I call it a doorway. If I have a horizontal hole, and it's more than lavud, I call it a window. I don't say that it's mavato. I have I made merubah ala parutz here. So what's the problem? The problem is you've got a whole 3, which in height is the equivalent of a whole 10 amot. So what? I would rely up to 10 amot, I would rely on I made merubah ala parutz. So let me rely on this mechitza. I made merubah ala parutz. Perfectly valid question that he's asking. Obviously, if this were entirely virtual, you'd have the problem of avira mi'aygisa mi'aygisa. But right now, I want to know about this thing over here of 3. So here is a hole. It's certainly not sealed. It's not lavud. What's the din? You say, omid merubah laparetz. And it's kosher. You've got a full wall here, despite the fact that you've got a hole in the middle. We don't look at it as two separate pieces of material, so to speak. That's one approach. The other simple approach is, Rav Ashi, why does that have to be? Can't we have a very simple case? We have a mechitza tluya. So you have a full mechitza. 10 tvachim. And now the problem is, the mechitza tluya is hanging, okay? If it's hanging, and from the area from which it's hanging, down to the bottom, if this mechitza counts as oimed merubah laparut, so you've got, let's say, 9 tvachim to the bottom, 10 tvachim is made. Gosh, it's great. What are you going to say? Gedi and Bokimba? Who cares about Gedi and Bokimba? You've got a full mechitza with a petach. Okay, so this is a big window, nu. That's what I'm asking. That's the equivalent question. Do we say, I made merubah laparutz? And that's what he was asking, and indeed he got an answer. Because it's the same question that, Boimine, Rabbi Tav Lamirav, that we had this before, namely, mechitza tluya in a churva. What would be the din? Ma'usha tatir b'churva. Omerle, ein mechitza tluya matert ela b'mayim. The only time we use a mechitza tluya is to create a virtual mechitza over an area of water outside of your window. You build a little circular, so to speak, that's open on the bottom. Lower your bucket, and it's as if the water is in your house. But it's only for mayim that we're matter. Mekifim bekanim. You know what? Maybe we should stop here. Yeah, it's up to you, but so if you've been here already over an hour. And, yeah. Okay. I mean, the truth is, this sugya continues on. It's mechubar to the next page, so it makes sense to cut it here.
What's the plan for tomorrow?
The great plan for tomorrow. I hope Barnea is still here. Oh, boy. Does anybody remember? But what time?
That's the question.
I think he said to me we should decide on the time.
Oh, he said we should decide on the time. Okay, fine. Then let's decide on the time.
Let Shoshi know, too.
Because of four.